everybody. Do it again. Welcome to the big time, Mr. Thomas Rhett.
What's going on?
Your album. That's what's going on. Congrats to where we started. It is I don't want to say this. I sound like a fangirl, but it's phenomenal.
Well, I really appreciate that because I am a big fan of this one as well.
And yeah.
It really was an album that was kind of birthed out of really getting back on the road. So a lot of this was written for the live show. And so I can't wait to get back on the road and play it.
I bet. How are you going to recreate this? I mean, you've got stuff that sounds like it was done in the 30s. Tiki Hut stuff. The band is going to have to be enormous.
I mean, yeah, we're going to give it our best shot. You know, we have a big band on stage, and yeah, we've been in rehearsal trying to figure out, you know, what old songs to play, what off the new record to play.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If we are going to play old stuff, you know, how do we make it feel like it fits the show today?
Oh, I actually think a lot of your stuff fits in with this album. I mean, Vacation came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
yeah.
Vacation was one of those ones that, you know, we just wanted to put out because it was reacting so well in the live show. And
got
we
it.
Just kind of thought, let's put this out and see what happens, you know. And it was not by any number perspective a song that did well on radio charts or anything, but to this day it acts like it was a monstrous hit on the radio. Sometimes that happens. So.
And the greatest video possibly of all time. It was so great. It was the best thing ever. But I mean, I can hear that fitting in with this, even though there's nothing on this album that's quite like that. Does any of that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I mean, I think going back through my records, there's always been, you know, a couple songs on every record that's kind of like, wow, that's really different. But sometimes those are the ones that end up kind of scratching through the noise a little bit and get people, you know, really being like, I love this song. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's how, I'll tell you the song that hit me that way that I've probably listened to about 5 times. Bring the Bar.
Yeah, it's fun. And if you don't think it's fun, then there's something wrong with you. So.
That is what a great song.
I appreciate that.
How many songs did you write during the pandemic? I mean, this
too
is
many.
15 tracks. Yeah, a lot.
Too many. Yeah, I mean, it just felt like every week there was a song that came out of that week that felt like it needed the chance, you know? And, you know, one song a week times 80 weeks of writing, you know, that's just a lot of tunes that we were just trying to figure out, like, where do all these go?
Yeah, did you have to spend most of your time, like, trying to figure out what doesn't go on the album?
I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's kind of the easier part of being like, okay, this is terrible. This is not going to get cut. But then there's a lot of them that you're just like, I love this, but what project does it fit on? And is it its own project? Is it just a one-off single? Like, you know, what do you do? And so that's kind of the reason for the overload of albums, you know, from last May to this upcoming fall. So
yeah, well, listen, thank you, because I like them all, so I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, but please explain this to me. Cassette.
Well, we only made a few of them. By a few, I mean like 500 or something like that. I just thought it was kind of unique. I just haven't seen that happen in a while. And when I got my tape the other day, I realized, oh man, I can't wait to play this on cassette. And I was like, well, I don't have a tape player. And
so exactly.
I ordered a real cheap one off Amazon. And my girls came home from school and they saw me fiddling with this tape player. And they're like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, this is called a tape. And they're like, what's it do? And I
oh,
said,
my.
Well, it's daddy's record. It's my album. It's the songs you've been hearing in the car, but it's on this little piece of plastic. And they were like infatuated with like fast forwarding and rewinding and ejecting and turning it over to the other side. And then they sat there and were just like enthralled by this thing for an hour.
I'm trying to picture that. And it makes perfect sense. They've never seen it.
Yeah. I don't think they've ever seen a tape in real life.
Yeah. And did you tell them how that if it gets unraveled, you just use the pencil and you stick it through that hole? And you...
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, they've seen albums, you know, they've seen vinyls and they've seen CDs because that still is, I mean, vinyls are kind of making their way back into the world.
Sure.
And CDs are even kind of scarce even these days, but tapes are like a thing of the past, you know?
100%.
But there is something fun about it because, you know, you hit play and then you got to wait for the song to start. And then when the song is over, it's not like you just get to skip to the next one. You got to wait till the tape, you know, hits the next song. And I was trying to teach them patience that day, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah. When I think about how much patience we used to have, it's ridiculous.
Oh, I know.
Right?
It's crazy.
No 8 tracks, though, right?
No 8 tracks.
Okay. I just always remember, I don't know if this happened. On your cassette, were you able to get complete songs on one side? Like you didn't have to flip in the middle of a song, right?
No, complete songs. And what's cool about this tape is that it also includes commentary. Like I went through the entire record and at the beginning of every song, I kind of explain, you know, how the song was written, how it was recorded, who I wrote it with. And so it's more of an experience piece than it is just like owning the record on tape. It's more of like if you're like a real fan of the music and you want to know more of the backstory, this tape kind of allows you into that world.
Well, now I want one.
Well, yeah.
I was wondering why you did it. Now I'm all upset that I don't have one.
It's not something that I'm pushing super hard. I'm not trying to force people to buy a tape, but if they were interested, you know, in some of that stuff, it is only on the cassette, which I thought was a neat way to, you know, for people to just own something. You know, like streaming is fun and listening to the radio is fun, but to actually have a digital, like, or like a physical piece in your hand to be able to play whenever you want to is something that we don't have much anymore.
I used to love that on DVDs when you could get the director's narration of the film. I used to love that.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what this is.
That is so cool. All right, write me down for one, okay? I swear
I got you. I got you.
So Bring the Bar to You is actually the name of the tour, yes?
Yeah, for sure. Kicks off in June with Parker McCollum and Connor Smith. I think it's like a 35-show tour all across America, and we're getting prepared for it now. So we're kind of in the midst of figuring out set lists and, you know, what's going to make this show different from last year, and just all the things.
And how you're going to get Katy Perry on the road with you? How did this Katy Perry thing come about? I need to know. Did you approach her, and how did you do that?
Actually, someone at the label emailed Katy about maybe jumping on this song, and it turns out that she really liked it. You know, she came on and absolutely just destroyed it. Like, her vocal is unbelievable on this track. And I knew that Katy was a great singer, but when you hear her on this song, I think you're reminded of, like, how amazing of a vocalist she is.
Right.
And I think she really lived this story, you know, just like I did. And so it's a very, very authentic way to say, like, man, I can't believe where we came from, but I can't believe that we got here either.
Well, you hit some pretty high notes in that tune too, didn't you?
Yeah,
dude. I did.
Been working on the old pipes, you know?
Yeah, I was impressed.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. But it's funny when you get into rehearsal and start singing those songs, you're like, how in the world did I do this in the studio? And but you just have to, like, retrain your voice, you know, to kind of do that, you know, three nights a week in a concert. And it's becoming very natural to me now.
You know, well, congratulations on getting all of this done while you have not just one or two or three, but four daughters now. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
On getting anything done. I'm very impressed. Like I've said, I can't go to the grocery store and the dry cleaner on the same day, and I don't have kids, so I'm very impressed.
We are both in this severely. I mean, it's like I go upstairs, I change a diaper, I come back downstairs, I do an interview. I mean, it's just like trying to all day switching brains.
Wow.
And I'm kind of getting used to it. So.
Well, nice job. Where We Started is the album. The song you know already from it is Slow Down Summer. Thomas Rhett's on the big time. Thank you, Thomas. We always appreciate visiting with you.
Thank you.